all these stresses are around. And the most important point I'm making today, that if you look at all these stresses and look at the molecular level, at the level of cell, all of these stresses are related to overproduction of free radicals and oxidative stress. So the disbalance between antioxidants and prooxidants called oxidative stress, and oxidative stress is a molecular mechanism under the most of commercially relevant stresses in poultry and pig production.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with nonlinear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/ag. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast Show. I'm Adam Fahrenholz, coming to you from North Carolina State University in the Animal Food Manufacturing Program here, housed in the Prestige Department of Poultry Science. On behalf of Wisenetics, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on YouTube or on your favorite podcast app of choice. We certainly appreciate our audience. Please do like and subscribe. Let us know if there are topics you'd like us to cover moving forward, all of those good things. Today, we're going to shift into some nutrition type of discussions and some other interesting stuff that is well outside my wheelhouse. So I'm really interested to learn from our guest today on some of these topics. My guest is Dr. Peter Sarai. Dr. Sarai is a professor at Vitagene and Health Research Center in the United Kingdom. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Adam.
If you wouldn't mind, give the audience a little bit more about your background and how you came to be doing what you're doing today, and then some of the work that you guys are doing there in the UK.
Well, I graduated university long, long ago in 1978, so almost 50 years ago. I graduated as a biochemist in Ukraine. And after university, I went to the Poultry Research Institute as a PhD student. So I did PhD in nutrition, and I started my PhD working with vitamin E. So I introduced myself to antioxidants almost 50 years ago. I did my PhD in nutrition. I got my PhD in 1983. I continued working with antioxidants at the Poultry Research Institute until I became a professor and head of Department of Physiology, Biochemistry and Nutrition, and being responsible for poultry nutrition of the whole country. And in 1994, I moved to Scotland, to the Scottish Agricultural College, to continue my antioxidant-related research. In 2001, I was promoted to full professor of nutritional biochemistry. And I continued there for a number of years. Then I moved to a commercial company. I spent 5 years running antioxidant, being the head of department of antioxidants in a commercial company, traveling around the world, and promoted my ideas about nutrition, about antioxidants. And later, I left the commercial company, came back to the research, and I was promoted to honorary and visiting professorships in various countries. And I continue working with antioxidants. And during these 50 years, almost 50 years of research, I went from vitamins to vitagenes. And today it's a good opportunity just to update you and give you some update how long that road was. And I hope to show you how I see that road to continue, how applications of that research can be used in poultry and pig nutrition. With my lecturing, I visited almost 70 countries worldwide. I wrote a number of books. So I got plenty of experience being in poultry and pig houses for a number of hours to watch and see inside what is going on. And because as a background, I'm a biochemist, so what I try to do to transfer very high science to the ground and to explain more naturally what is going on at the molecular level in the body of chicken and pigs.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
Okay, very, very cool. That's quite the journey, and a lot of really neat things there, and a lot of background. I like what you said there at the end about getting the opportunity to take that the basic science and try to get it into the hands of people from a practical perspective where it can be used. So that's always really great. So I know that some of the things that we need that we're going to talk about are related to, you mentioned VitaGene and some of the molecular mechanisms, but I think the place to start first is, where do these things play a role in things like stress classification? We've got poultry and pig production. We've got various stresses that are happening, whether they be environmental, nutritional, challenges from diseases, things like that. So what does stress classification look like at kind of the beginning step of determining what we need to address?
Well, in general, if we look at the poultry and pig production, meat and egg production systems, they are always related to some kind of stresses, because what we want from chicken and from pigs probably is too much in relation to their physiology and natural situation. Therefore, we can look first at the physiological stresses, which means the chicken is growing very quickly. It's too quickly for the normal physiology of chicken. Therefore, the chicken is growing at the limit of their biological ability. The same is true if we look at the layer, which is laying an egg a day for a long period of time. Again, and especially we try to extend the laying period beyond 75 weeks. Again, another stress, aging layers. We look at the peak of production. Again, another stress. So these are physiological stresses. We look at technological stresses, and technological stresses could be related to chicken placement or transfer from rearing house to breeder house, any manipulation with poultry or pigs. These are technological stresses. We are looking at environmental stresses. The simplest one will be, of course, the temperature fluctuation, high temperature or low temperature, dust, and some others. We can look at nutritional stresses. The simplest one will be mycotoxins in the diet or oxidized fat in the diet. There are plenty of those. There are also internal or immunological stresses, which means challenges with viral or microbial diseases. So all these stresses are around. And the most important point I'm making today, that if you look at all these stresses and look at the molecular level, at the level of cell, all of these stresses are related to overproduction of free radicals and oxidative stress. So the disbalance between antioxidants and prooxidants called oxidative stress, and oxidative stress is a molecular mechanism under the most of commercially relevant stresses in poultry and pig production.
Oxidative stress, and that's like you just mentioned, one of those molecular mechanisms of those detrimental consequences of that stress that we see. So any other molecular mechanisms that we think about as we look at the impact of the stress, whether it be the, as you mentioned, the growing stress, having these animals constantly at the limit of their genetic potential. You talked about heat, all those kind of things. Other things we want to look at as well?
Well, in general terms, my research was related mainly in understanding how she cannot pick sense stress and how it responds to stress. Because the adaptation to stress is the most important part of physiology. Because the stresses are always around. The only thing is how high stress is. Because what's happening, the adaptation period could be short or longer period. But if stress is too high, the adaptive ability of animal will go down. And antioxidant defenses will collapse, and we will have problems with chicken dying or losing productive and reproductive performance. So the major task was to understand at the molecular level how those antioxidant defenses are regulated, how they are adapted to the situation. And that's where we came to that concept of vita genes, genes which are responsible for adaptation. And we can say today that the adaptation itself is taking place at the gene level. And then upregulation of genes, which are encoded for specific protective proteins, leading to increased production of those proteins, protective proteins like antioxidant enzymes, for example. And by upregulation of those protective molecules, the body can stay in homeostasis, in balance, until the stress is too high.
Okay, so we're basically looking at, we have stress, we need to adapt to that stress. At some point, based on our current understanding of the science, we get to a point where we have hit the limit of adaptation. We can no longer adapt anymore physiologically to address that stress. And that's what's led you into this area of the vita genes, the vita genes, being able to upregulate and get that adaptation to increase even further beyond what we used to think the limit was. So I guess stepping back just a step, what are vita genes or vita genes? I'm thinking that we're saying that we're two different ways depending on what side of the ocean we might be on, vitamin or vitamin. So what would you categorize them as specifically? And then how are they involved in helping fight those stress events?
Well, in general, as I mentioned, vita genes are genes which are responsible for or encode synthesis of protective proteins. What proteins? First, it's an enzyme called superoxide dismutase. This is the first enzyme which is dealing with free radicals. Because in biological systems, the major free radical which is produced called superoxide radical. This superoxide radical is produced in mitochondria. This radical is produced in phagocyte cells, and this radical start all those detrimental consequences of excess of free radicals. Therefore, this enzyme, superoxide dismutase, is the first line of defense. We started to convert that superoxide radical into hydrogen peroxide, and that hydrogen peroxide is converted into water. So this is the first one. Then the next one is a so-called heat shock protein. So there is a range of proteins which actually called heat shock proteins because historically they were discovered as a response to heat stress. In general, today I would call them stress response proteins because what's happening, any stress, including mycotoxins, including temperature, including other technological stresses, still affect expression of those heat shock proteins. So these heat shock proteins, they are very important to prevent protein integrity or to maintain protein integrity, prevent damages to proteins. And among those, there is a specific enzyme called hemoxygenase 1. One is a small heat shock protein, which is especially important as an antioxidant in all the system of antioxidant defense. Then we have so-called glutathione system, which include glutathione, glutathione reductase, glutathione peroxidase. These are specific molecules which help cell to maintain redox balance. Because today we're coming just from antioxidant, pro-oxidant balance to redox balance. And redox balance is something you can actually measure. You can put electrode in the cell and measure redox potential. And this redox balance or redox potential of the cell is a key regulator of many physiological processes, including gene expression, including inflammation, including many others. So glutathione system, the one part of this redox balance. The second part of the same redox balance is so-called thyroredoxin system. Again, small protein thyroredoxin, thyroredoxin reductase, peroxyredoxins. So these are also molecules which are maintain redox balance. And finally, these are all beta genes. And finally, we are coming to proteins called sirtuins, something which is not very well described in poultry and pigs, but very, very well studied on human size. So sirtuins are specific protective proteins which possess deacetylase activity, which means that they are actually involved in regulation of post-translation modification of proteins, which there are plenty of those. So all these proteins I described are encoded by specific genes, which we call beta genes, and they are working together first to maintain redox balance, and redox balance will be related to transcription factors. For example, two major transcription factors, which today are very well studied, is NRF2, which is responsible for synthesis of more than 200 of different protective molecules. Another one, NF-kappa-B, a transcription factor which is responsible for synthesis of pro-inflammatory cytokines. So the balance between these two transcription factors is a key for redox balance maintenance, and they also change in depending on the redox balance in the cell. Therefore, the whole idea of this research and this book, which I published in 2020, it's 540 pages, Vita Genes in Avian Biology and Poultry Health. So it took me 500 pages to explain what these Vita Genes and why and for. But the major point, because I'm a nutritionist inside myself, and I worked with poultry and pigs for many years, so the whole idea was, can we actually upregulate those beta genes to increase the resistance or resilience of animals in stress conditions? That was the most important part, because we know that, yes, they are important, they are regulated, they are responded to various stresses. But our task was further step. Can we actually, by nutritional means, for example, can we actually upregulate those beta genes? And if we upregulate, will we see any beneficial effect in terms of adaptive ability of animals to stress? That's how we came to study various antioxidants first. Then we came to some, let's say, not traditional antioxidant like carnitine, taurine, and some silymarine. So those compounds, which are already on the market, they are used for a long period of time, but we look more specifically on redox balance, we look more specifically on the regulation of transcription factors, and we look specifically if we can upregulate those beta genes.
We've got me digging very far back into my biochemistry and physiology. That my poor feed miller head is like, okay, I learned about a lot of this in a long time ago. But it is really interesting, and we're going to talk about it in a second about how we actually make that happen. Real quick, reintroduce my guest is Dr. Peter Sarai, and Peter is with Vita Gene and the Health Research Center in the United Kingdom. So one of the things that we then have to do, as you started to allude to right there, is if we want to upregulate these genes, we want them to do something, we have to make that happen. And obviously, there are various different ways that we have upregulated genes, and some of those are manipulation of genomics and all that. But what you're talking about is actually trying to upregulate it through actual nutritional modulation, what the animals are consuming, and therefore turning these genes on at a higher level and getting them to do all of the things that you described in order to manage those stress. So You threw out some things like the taurine and other products that are out there. Describe a little bit more about that, of how we would like to nutritionally modulate the Vita genes, and then we can talk into a little bit, all right, if that's the mechanism, how do we actually get that to the bird?
Well, I should also mention that the Vitagen concept itself initially was developed in medical sciences. So the first publication and description of Vitagens was done in 1998 by Professor Ratan in Denmark, and he was working in the laboratory related to human aging. So that's the starting point. Then the Professor Calabrese in Italy, actually from year 2004 until today, he's still publishing paper developing Vitagen concept in relation to human diseases, to Alzheimer's diseases, you name it, aging, any diseases related to inflammation, so on and so forth. So our idea was to take those ideas and transfer them into poultry and pig production. That's what we've done for these last 20 years. Now, when we try to look how to modulate those Vita genes, yes, the first one, what we need to do, we need a balanced diet to maintain all gene expressed well, okay? If the diet is not balanced, we will help adaptation, and some genes will be up-regulated, some genes will be down-regulated. But what we look at, our whole idea was what we can do in stress conditions, specific stress conditions. Let's say heat stress. We know in heat stress, oxidative stress is taking place at the molecular level. So we try to add various compounds, various antioxidants, or various antioxidant mixtures into the diet and see if the response. Some responses were what we expected. Some other responses were not expected. Some cases, there were no response at the level of Vita genes. So after many years of research, we came to conclusion that we have to look more specifically for specific situation. For example, I give you one example. For example, you are wet. You are coming to the poultry house. In poultry house, you have 30,000 birds. Let's say they are 5 days old. You came to the poultry house, looked, and you saw that something is wrong. You look, and birds are just sleepy. You don't know what's wrong, but you have to do something. If you do nothing, there will be mortality very soon. So you, as a veterinarian, needed to make a very hard decision. But you cannot make decision in 5 minutes. You need some time, maybe to take blood, you take some analysis. You have to buy some time before you make a decision. That's exactly where we came with the idea that we can put Vitagen modulating compounds into water. And with water, with a drinking system, give these compounds straight away. Like, okay, you decided and you have a bottle of this product in the backyard. So you open it through a medicator, and in 15 minutes time, the birds will receive the something to upregulate those Vita genes. And you go to your lab, do your job, and maybe next day you will decide that you need vaccination, or you need antibiotic, or you need something. But you bought 24 hours for timing to make a decision. So that's how we came with the idea that, okay, nutritional part is good part, and we still can do a lot of things with nutrition. But sometimes in situations such as I described to you, another situation, for example, broken equipment. Again, you have to do something in presence of birds, and you cannot change feed at that time before, you know, you have feed bin full of food, feed, okay? So it will take a few days to get rid of that food, to change feed, to change it. Therefore, to supplement something with water would give you a protection for the short period of time. For example, in the case of those birds I was talking about, maybe there is nothing wrong, and you will come next day and everything is okay because there was some short stress and you overcome it. But that's how we came with the idea that we can supplement Supplementation with medication, it's a common practice. Antibiotics can be done, probiotics with water. So with water system, organic acids and many other things. So the system of delivery is already there, okay? It's in most of complexes in pig and poultry, they are in place. So there is in place system. For our task was to develop a system which would be water soluble, which will not interfere with the Dinkins system, with nipples and so on and so forth. And we can add that mixture. We came with a mixture of nutrients, which actually one nutrient will not do the job we wanted. So after a long period of time of studying, we found several various mixtures. One mixture, I would say, for general purposes, like I described you with this 30,000 birds. Another mixture with specific target. For example, if you look at the laying birds, we know that egg shell quality goes down at the end of production. And there is, today we know that in many cases, inflammation is a key mechanism of deterioration of eggshell formation in eggshell gland. So we actually can supply something with water to decrease inflammation. So there is a plenty of opportunity, just a matter of time to find how we can do it. Because in my practice for many years, there was always a discussion between nutritionist and veterinarian. Because sometimes there is some problems that veterinarians say, oh, it's a nutritional problem. And nutritionists say, no, it's a veterinary problem, some bacteria or whatever. Today we came to the position where nutritionist and veterinarian working together, because these are connected. Since if you look at the level of genes, both sides, veterinarian side, like challenges with microbial or viruses and nutritional deficiency, they are all affect genes. Therefore, if we develop the system, we actually developed few of them and tried in practice already, but talking about commercial application, there is an opportunity. It's just a matter to find the proper place, proper attitude, and my understanding as a person who spent almost 50 years in poultry, this kind of mixture should be in storage at every poultry house, just in case. And sometimes maybe you run 35 days or 42 days growth or whatever your growth period, and you run smoothly. You will still have 1 year storage guarantee, so no problem. But next time, if something happens, you have an instrument. So we are talking about developing some instruments which potentially can help those nutritionists and veterinarian technologies to deal with those stresses, which sometimes are unexpected. Because if you look at the temperature and forecast for next week that the temperature will be high, you can prepare yourself and change maybe diet. But sometimes unexpected stresses, because among that list, long list I mentioned, there are plenty of those which are happening unexpectedly. And in this case, upregulation of genes via nutritional modulation, supply quickly with water can do a job. Because what's happened, if we are not talking about supplying this for weeks, it's a few days. For example, I give you another example. When you place in birds, adaptation to the poultry house for birds taking place for a few days. You need to make sure that residual yolk, which came from hatchery, actually resolved quickly, and you need to support those birds. In previous years, in many cases, antibiotics were actually supplied with water, but at least in Europe, it's already forbidden. So there is an opportunity to look what can be done to help those birds for maybe 2-3 days at the very beginning. Again, they consume water. The amount of water they consume is very little. Therefore, if you supplement something with water that short period of time, the long-term effect will be very, very, very big. And therefore, we are looking at those. If you look at the pig production, we are talking about weaning stress. Again, at weaning stress, we also can heal. So it's just that from the physiological point of view, looking at those stresses, looking how we can help animal to adapt, because it's all the theory of Vitagenes is about adaptation to stress, and our task as a nutritionist just to help them in terms that they are using their internal ability to maximum extent. And that's how we do it, by upregulating Vitagenes.
Very cool. Very, very interesting stuff. And that makes a lot of sense as to why it would be something that you'd want to go through the water versus the feed with that short amount of time. And so that the short duration that you need, and also the, like you said, the ability to immediately
exactly
do that when the nutritionist or the veterinarian sees it. And the good news is, with the veterinarian and the nutritionist working much more closely together, now you can both blame the feed mill and for all of the rest of the problem.
Yes, and you see, in this case, we do not interfere with general nutrition. It's a nutritionist's right. job to make a balanced diet. It's a veterinarian job to make a protection, that the vaccination and everything. By the way, vaccination, another stress. And sometimes, okay, you have few vaccinations during the growth of birds. Maybe some of them are okay, but at least from my experience, there, at least one vaccination could be painful. And you know that during this post-vaccinal stress actually decrease immunity, and there are some consequences. Therefore, adding something with water before vaccination and after vaccination for a short period of time also can help. Therefore, what I'm saying, we are not interfering with a system which already exists. We just giving additional instrument which should be in place. If somebody is happy with those, that's okay. But if somebody more cautious, keep the product for a long period of time in the storage until something goes wrong, it can help. So that's how I apply this, Vitagenes, transcription factors, redox balance into practical application to the poultry houses. Because myself, I probably spent a few months in poultry houses inside. So I've been working closely with a breeding company. So I spent a lot of time looking at cockerel feeding. I look at how the feeding itself is going on, what kind of stresses they expected and how they are dealing. So I learned from poultry houses, and I came with this supplementation as a way to respond to those poultry stockmans who are asking me questions, and I cannot help even if I'm a professor. So that's how I would deal with that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it certainly makes a lot of sense as well from the nutritional perspective of not otherwise upsetting the apple cart of the rest of the feed that's being delivered and everything else. No one has to say, oh, well, we need to go make just a little bit of feed with this particular other thing in it for a short amount of time. This is a really nice way to be able to address that. So no, it all makes a really good argument for it being an additional tool that gives people that are in that production environment, that are responsible for the health and well-being and nutrition and health status of those birds, one more way to improve the process, and to do so in a very specific way and in a very timely way. So I think those are certainly excellent things.
Yeah, from my experience, I got quite a few experimentation and commercial application in countries like Thailand, like Turkey and others. And sometimes I have one case when people are very skeptical. They have in possession the product, they don't want to use it. So eventually there was a temperature too high, they were not able to deal with, and mortality started to rise. And when they include the product and mortality stop rising, and they saw real result in quite few poultry houses, then they came and said, Peter, at the end of the day, you was right. And so you know, in those situations when people are coming to the position where they don't have a choice. Because, okay, you can add through water ascorbic acid, for example, the common sin which is used. You will not solve the problem. You can add acidifiers. You will not solve the problem because the problem is much deeper. Therefore, when we're talking about these, there is a plenty of water solve applications available, like vitamins, minerals, mixtures. But they were developed many, many years ago when Premix industry was not strong enough. So let's say 40, 50 years ago when Premix mixes were not balanced, sometimes adding vitamins with water were helping them. So those products are still on the market, but they have completely different purpose. So today, they do not do anything, because if the premix is balanced, adding extra vitamins and minerals with water most likely will not do a much improvement. But if we look on specific cases, and we look at specific mixture, and if we upregulate specific genes, we might see good results.
Excellent. Very, very neat stuff. My guest today has been Dr. Peter Sarai. Peter is with VitaGene and Health Research Center in the UK. It was a lot of fun. Peter, I really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. I hope that I explain it in a way that people will understand, because we can talk a lot about what is glutathione peroxidase, what is doing, how it's regulated. But if we look at the practical point of view, it does matter for the practical people what glutathione peroxidase is doing. They were looking for solutions. Okay, it can go at the molecular level. We'll explain how it works, but they're looking for solutions because the stresses are always around. Sometimes to avoid stress is too expensive. For example, if you look at the temperature in those countries like Egypt, so the temperature is very high, they have cooling system, but sometimes they see that actually amount of money which they put in cooling system to maintain optimal temperature is too high. So they deliberately agree that the temperature go a bit up, and that a bit eventually affect health, affect productive and reproductive performance. And looking at that a bit, we also can help. So that's how I would see the application.
And anybody that wants to learn more about it, Peter held up his book, and I think you said 540 pages all about all of this, right?
So yes, more in detail. Yeah, sorry.
Absolutely, very good. Well, again, thanks for joining me. It's been a great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and pleasure to share the knowledge which I accumulated for many years, and hopefully by this way I will deliver this message to a wide range of people. And if they have questions, they can find my email, and we can talk more specifically, because today I did not mention names, but I mean commercial names. I don't need to. I'm talking about science. But behind science, there are some developments already. And if somebody interested, okay, we can talk more specifically how, because every time we are talking about application, we need to study the case. It's a case by case. It's not something which with one switch you can solve all problem. No, we look case by case and adapt technology to the specific cases.
Absolutely. Well, there you go, everybody. That's an invitation to reach out if you're interested in learning more about it. And Peter will be happy to tell you more about it and where those applications could work well in various different operations as we continue to evolve our production of swine and poultry. This has been the Feed Science Podcast Show. Peter, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Adam.
On behalf of Wisenetics, thanks for listening. Again, please do like and subscribe and let us know the kind of topics you'd like to hear more about. And until then, we'll talk to you the next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.